From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude his message called The Longest Day, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Joyful Security. The text is Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear of falling is wholesome. To be venturesome is no sign of wisdom. Times come to us when we feel that we must go down unless we have a very special support. Here we have it. God's right hand is a grand thing to lean upon. Mind, it is not only His hand, though it keepeth heaven and earth in their places, but His right hand, His power united with skill, His power where it is most dexterous. Nay, this is not all. It is written, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, that hand which He uses to maintain His holiness and to execute His royal sentences, this shall be stretched out to hold up His trusting ones. Fearful is our danger, but joyful is our security. The man whom God upholds, devils cannot throw down. Weak may be our feet, but almighty is God's right hand. Rough may be the road, but omnipotence is our upholding. We may boldly go forward. We shall not fall. Let us lean continually where all things lean. God will not withdraw His strength, for His righteousness is there as well. He will be faithful to His promise and faithful to His Son, and therefore faithful to us. How happy ought we to be? Are we not so?
Bye.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Joshua chapter 10 records one of the greatest miracles to be found in all the Word of God, the day that Joshua asked the Lord to suspend the going down of the sun so that Israel might win a complete victory over the Amorites. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been showing how God provides what His people need to accomplish His purpose. Joshua had several needs, the first of which was more light to enable him to achieve complete victory over the enemy. In the same way, the Church of Jesus Christ in our day needs more light, the light of the knowledge of Christ, which alone can give what is needed for victory. Joshua also needed more power. Only the intervention of God could do what needed to be done. In the same way, the great need of the Church today is for the power of the Holy Spirit. Neither a church nor an individual Christian can do God's work without God's power. And that comes only in response to earnest prayer. The third need Joshua had was more time. The extra day which God miraculously provided secured ultimate victory over the Amorites. The lesson for believers in every age is the proper use of the time God gives in order to serve Him. Now to conclude this message called The Longest Day, here is Dr. Cairns.
I want to tell every Christian here, there is a day coming, not very far from now, when you will say, I would to God that I'd use the time I had, for it's gone, and I would give anything for a chance for more time to serve God. I wonder, my friend, if you were to be your deathbed today, how you would look at the things that you've been boasting about, and they're so important that they have wiped out spiritual considerations almost altogether. How important would they be lying in your deathbed? For the most part, God, in grace sometimes, as in the illustration I've given you, goes the extra mile in this, but for the most part, it's useless to pray for more time unless you're willing to use the time God gives you for His glory. When we pray for more time, we're praying, Lord, extend my time to serve Thee. Isn't that what Hezekiah prayed? When, as a young man, still in his 30s, he turned his face to the wall and he cried to God, more time. God gave him it. He had served the Lord, but his most important service was yet to be done. It's interesting, we read of Isaac, we read of David, and we read of Job, that they all died full of days. Now, listen, their respective ages were very different. In fact, compared to Isaac and Job, when David died, he was just a youngster. He was only 70 years old. But each of them died full of days. You see, it's not strictly just the number of days and years you live that matters. It's living that allotted span to the full. Job 5:26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lord, extend my time that I may serve thee to the full. And when we pray, more time, Lord, what we're praying is, when my sun finally sets, let me have finished the task thou gavest me to do. Let me have finished the task thou gavest me to do. I read of David in Acts 13:36 that after he had served his generation, he fell asleep. David served his generation. He finished the task God gave him to do. Isn't the same thing true of Paul? How often we have looked at those words, I am now ready to be offered. The day of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There's nothing more tragic than to see a runner drop out of his race before the course is finished. Lord, give me more time. Don't let my sun go down till I have finished the job. Now let me ask you today, are you even doing the job God gave you to do? Do you even look like completing the course the Lord has set before you? Or have you put the service of the King on the side and you're going your own not so sweet way? And your job will never be done. God, give us grace to use time, use it for Christ, and to finish the course. There's a great American preacher by the name of T. DeWitt Talmage, only a name to a few preachers and students nowadays, one of the greatest orators the pulpit has ever known. Not always the meatiest of preachers, but a great, great orator. And I was reading in Talmage. I encourage preachers to read Talmage. He lift their brains beyond the level of the mundane and make them fly high. But he was referring to Robert Murray McShane. For those of you who don't know that name, there may be one or two of you, Robert Murray McShane, the young Scottish Presbyterian minister who saw revival in the town of Dundee and died at the age of 30. It is said by Talmage that as he was preaching, at times McShane would cough, for though he didn't die of consumption, or tuberculosis as we would call it, yet he was consumptive. He would cough with this racking cough, and it would appear that he was going to die. He could hardly get breath to preach. And that his prayer was, more time, Lord. More time. But by the age of 30, his time was gone, but his work was finished. And yet it wasn't. Because as Talmage points out, the son of those who live as McShane lived never does go down. And the effect of those few brief years, about 8 years of pastoral work, the effect of those few brief years is still felt not only in Scotland but around the world today. I was just thinking a few weeks ago, you can translate this into American terms. I had no American education, so my illustration has to be British. But I remember having to study British history. And I still remember some of the names of the great politicians and the statesmen, and some of the battles that they fought for the Reform Acts and the repeal of the Corn Laws and the laissez-faire attitude to trade and all those things we used to have to study. And yes, some of it sticks to this day. But if you were to go to most people in Britain and ask them for the name of one English politician from the 1850s, the 1860s, the 1870s, the 1880s, and the 1890s, only the very educated could give you any answer at all. The vast majority wouldn't give you one leading politician. And the very educated could come up with three or four. Ask them, what did they ever do? What did they ever say? Listen, their sun has set. You're just a footnote on the page of history. But in the 1850s, a gawky, I do mean gawky, young country boy came to the great metropolis of London. And he started to preach. And people started to come and hear, and they started to get saved. The poor people and the rich people, the educated and the illiterate, they all came in their great throngs. No hall was big enough to hold them, and for the next 40 years, C.H. Spurgeon preached the gospel through bad health, absenteeism because of it, opposition, mockery, hatred. You know, if you were to go to China today, the Christians there know C.H. Spurgeon. If you're to go to Russia, he's translated into Russian. Across America, across Canada, throughout the whole world. And to this very day, Spurgeon is still seeing more people saved through the sermons that he preached. First, because people are still reading them, and second, because all around the world preachers are still preaching them. He's still seeing people saved through the sermons he preached, more so than many a preacher preaching his own stuff. His son has never set. Today, my friend, we face a mammoth task. Like Joshua, we must pray great prayers and get great answers. Son, stand thou still. More light. More power. More time. Ask, and ye shall receive. May God answer us for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we do ask thee today that thou wilt write thy word upon every heart. Lord, we pray that thou wilt still every soul. Let us not miss the word of God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt deal with those who know not Christ. And oh, we ask thee to bring them to the Savior. Oh God, give them grace to lay hold of Christ, to take Him at His word, and be saved. Remember Thy people. Oh God, there are so many Christian lives that are doing nothing much for Thee. So many Christian homes that are more like the world than they are like heaven and earth. Even so many churches that are almost devoid of spiritual power. God, have mercy upon us. Heal the backslidings of our heart. Give us more light. Give us more power. Lord, give us more time. And use us to serve Thee and finish the job. Hear our prayer. Answer us abundantly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.